Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
We come before you to follow in the footsteps of those who gave our country Social Security and then Medicare and now universal quality affordable health care for all Americans. The bill will expand coverage, including a public option to boost choice and competition in the health insurance reform.
That, of course, is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi recently announcing the public option in health care reform. We're going to talk health care reform as well as do a little analysis of yesterday's off-cycle election with Congressman John Tsimkas of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois for the next 10 minutes of the program. In about 15 minutes, we'll discuss life after death with Dinesh D'Souza. Congressman John Tsimkas of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, great to be with you.
Your reaction to the off-cycle elections yesterday?
Well, I think what people are trying to figure out is where do the independents go? And we know where they went in the presidential cycle. They all believed in the message of the then-candidate, now President Obama, and the independents were in that camp. I think yesterday showed that the independents now have moved away into supporting conservative candidates. And I think it's mostly because of increase in indebtedness, bigger government, more spending.
What theme emerges for you from yesterday with regard to the social issues that were on the ballot in at least several states, namely gay marriage?
Well, and Maine, I guess, is the one that I was very, you know, pleased with. The New England states are more moderate. And for the state of Maine to vote in opposition to gay marriage and send that signal, I think is a great victory.
Will conservative and Republican victories yesterday, do they signal something about the future of health care reform?
Well, I thought that we had trouble, but New York 23 was problematic. It sent a couple signals. The Republicans didn't endorse the more conservative of its candidates. We endorsed the more moderate one, which led the conservative to run his own race, which in essence probably could have won had the Republican not backed out and then endorsed the Democrat. I mean, there's so many confusing pictures. Had the conservative won New York 23 and we picked up the two governor's races as we did, I think it would have stopped it. New York is so muddled that I talked to a Democrat on the floor. He says there's no way they have 218 votes for this health care bill, but they're saying we're going to vote 6 p.m. on Saturday.
What is its status now? What are you guys being asked to consider then this weekend?
Well, the only reason why we're here is for them to get to the magic number 218. I mean, that's the only reason. They dropped what's called a manager's amendment today, which is some changes to the base text. It's about 32 pages. It addresses nothing of substance. So it's, in essence, irrelevant in the debate. The real battle, I think, that's being fought now is the pro-life debate. And mostly on the Democrat side, because there are some pro-life Democrats who are saying, we're not going to support taxpayer funds that go to support abortion and abortion services. And they've kind of drawn a line in the sand. Now, will that line get brushed aside and a new line get drawn? That's what Speaker Pelosi is trying to, figure out a way to bring these folks on board. But she's a pro-abortion. And the vast majority of the people in the Democrat Party are pro-abortion. If she reneges, then she loses them. So that's really what's holding up everything right now.
Does the bill that Speaker Pelosi is asking everyone to vote on Saturday, Does it or does it not allow for taxpayer funding of abortion?
Oh, it does. There's no debate on that anymore. It's pretty clear. What they've done in the bill, and I'm reading the new text. The new text is H.R. 3962. What you find throughout the bill, and it's 2,000 pages in essence, is conscience clauses, which allows folks who are pro-life not to be forced to provide abortion services. Also, conscience clauses for those who are practitioners and support pro-abortion to be allowed to continue to do that and not be let their conscience be impinged on someone saying they can't. So it's very, very muddled. But there's no debate now, a credible debate by anybody that taxpayers' funds under this plan would not go. Everybody knows that there would be taxpayer funds that would support abortion services.
Really,
that last 300 pages of this bill is one that hasn't even been considered by committee. It's the Indian Health Services Act, which has that pretty clear in that language.
Will conscience clauses be enough to satisfy pro-life Democrats who are currently at least promising to oppose this bill?
I think that's what you're trying to find out now. I don't know. And now's the time for the faithful to rally and talk to elected officials and let them know where they stand on this.
Do you think the president will hesitate, if you will, if he thinks that what Speaker Pelosi is asking for a vote on Saturday has a chance of failing for a lack of Democratic votes? Do you think that he will hold off and say, let's work some more on it?
No, I think that you will. You won't see her bring a bill to the floor that she cannot pass. So what could very well happen is we get to 6 o'clock on Saturday night and we don't have a vote on the bill. And then they could hold us here Monday and Tuesday trying to get a vote, or they might surrender. And then maybe he comes in and says, okay, let's pick up the pieces and find out what we can pass.
What other issues concern you in health care reform?
Well, I mean, from the pro-life perspective, that's a huge, huge issue, and I'm not going to diminish that. But the basic premise is let's have a public option insurance plan, which would be a government-run and operated and actually backed insurance plan, which would compete with private insurance. I would say competes unfairly and, in essence, drives people to either drop or not have private insurance anymore. I'm worried about 10 or 15 years when there's no private insurers left in the market. You have one insurer, which is the federal government, and then this other program called Competitive Effectiveness, which is well-intended to look at health care outcomes, health care delivery, and find out what's the best care for the lowest cost. That was done in the British Health Service, but it turned into be the rationing system because when you have a one-payer system like they do in Britain, you only control costs by rationing care. So you take a public option insurance plan, 10 or 15 years, one insurer, the government, tie that with comparative effectiveness, which will then be used to deny care to control cost.
Are the Republicans effectively sitting on the sidelines during all of this debate?
No, I think our ability to use the pulpit and talk to folks and listen to our constituents is helpful and probably disconcerting to our colleagues who, you know, are around us as they're going to have to either justify their yes vote or their no vote.
And why, I've asked you this before, why the rush?
Well, the rush is they don't want any more elections like last night that would encourage their Democrats to vote no on everything that they're trying to move. I think one of the worst things that happened was the elections of last night, which sent a signal that the direction that they're heading nationally is not being viewed positively, at least in two states, Virginia and New Jersey. And then people, in essence, extrapolate that to, well, what's it doing in my district?
So do you think it's possible that Democratic members of the House who up to this point would have been willing to pledge a vote for health care reform after yesterday's results might think twice?
Oh, well, yeah. You look at the vote numbers in Virginia, which swept all the statewide offices, and some of these, or in the governor's race, one district that it has a Democrat in there and an incumbent, the Republican won by 66% of the vote. Another one, in another Democrat district, the Republican won by 61%, and another one with by 55% of the vote. Now, if these were these were districts that President Obama carried, you see this big swing, and you only won by 1,000 votes, I think that's a signal that you're in trouble.
Finally, with only about 20 seconds, Congressman, are Republican House leaders reaching out to those pro-life Democrats?
No. I mean, I wish we could, but it's no. It's kind of what they're trying to do. We'd welcome them, but they're too skittish to talk to us because of the reprisals from within their own party.
Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois, thank you so much for being our guest.
Hey, my pleasure. Take care, Todd.
Folks, I want you to consider something here. Just so far this week and so far even today, the breadth of topics that you will find here on a regular basis on issues, etc. Think about this. Just today, the World Series, healthcare reform, in just a moment, life after death with Dinesh D'Souza. This week, we've talked about the Apocrypha. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about dinosaurs with Ken Ham. That's a broad spectrum of topics with expert guests. One reason for you to become a member of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Find out more about the Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org. Click donate. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Click there. You'll find out all you need to know about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club and how you, too, can support Issues Etc. as a confessor, an apologist, a reformer, or a patron. issuesetc.org. Click donate. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. When we come back, we're going to spend the last half hour of this Wednesday afternoon, November the 4th, with Dinesh D'Souza. He's co-founder and director of the Why God Institute. He's got a new book titled Life After Death, The Evidence. We'll make an apologetic case for the afterlife with Dinesh D'Souza after this. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Adoption brings the joys of parenthood.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Nearly 600,000 children are in the U.S. foster care system. Thanks to people like Bill and Ellen County of Auburn, Maine, though, there are six children who have found a forever family. Both teachers, Bill and Ellen, always liked children. But when Ellen had to have a hysterectomy, she knew that adoption was the way she was meant to have a family. For her, the best part of being a mom is just giving the kids a bath or bandaging a scraped knee. It's the everyday stuff that makes motherhood such an honor and a privilege.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.